Yeah, that's what it would have been using.
15 minutes. I said to you after, but I'm not sure that recorded.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Continue our discussion about Bnei Aspais Shel Avonim. I'm in Sefer Shmiras Agufa Nefesh, in Yonei Dira, in Yonim of Accommodation, Simon Reish Zain, and we're in Seif Base. And we said, Im Sosa Binyan Yoshin Amonos Livnais Bayi Chodosh, Yeshloimer De Ein Bozeh Kepedo. That if you have demolished a building which was there previously, in other words, the Issa, for whatever reason, and we'll discuss that, but the Issa of building a house out of Avonim is only an Issa to build on a virgin site, on a site where there was no building previously. But if he demolished a building and then rebuilt it, it doesn't say whether, at the moment, doesn't say here, whether or not we were talking about a building Shel Avonim beforehand, or whether there was a different type of building, and he had a sofik anyway about Eitzim, and Chaskel raised the question of bricks, which we'll come to later. Yeah, then it said, and we mentioned as well the Inyan of taking a town Nagoil and town Nagoiles and putting them in the house overnight, shefting them in the morning, etc. Then it says, Yesh noagin limkar hamokim v'havonim legoi ad gemar habinyan. There are some people who have the minik that they sell the site and they sell the materials to a goi ad gemar habinyan until the building has been built. In other words, then it is a goi building a building on a non-Jewish site, so he's building his building on his own site, which is no problem at all. And then afterwards, and then you buy the house from the goy. I don't know what tax problems that gets you into, yeah. But technically speaking, when the building was being built, it wasn't your building. The site was belonging technically to the goy. All the building materials and the construction were paid for by the goy, so the goy has built a binyan shel avonim, and then you buy it from him. And we said that you're allowed to buy a binyan shel avonim, you're just not allowed to build a binyan shel avonim. And again, we need to understand what the chilik is between them. Then, we're nearly finished with the seifim themselves, and then we'll go on to the explanation to understand the entire concept. Some people say that this kepeda, which if the reason for the issa of building a house shel avonim is because it looks like you're giving up on, you're settling permanently in chutz loretz, and you're giving up on kaviochel on living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you're making yourself a permanent home shel avonim in chutz loretz, then it would be understandable that this issa only applies in chutz loretz. Adarabba, if you build a binyan shel avonim in Eretz Yisrael, that's showing your intended permanence in Eretz Yisrael. That should be okay. Says the Yeshayim to Cholak Peder who raks Shabbayne b'chutz loretz, avol k'shabbayne b'Eretz Yisrael less lombor. If you build a permanent house in Eretz Yisrael, that is going to be no problem. And that he quotes b'shem the Shalosh Shavus Chasam Sofer. Speaking.
Yeah.
Pardon. Okay, we can do one more. Yeah, he's here somewhere, so when he appears, we'll stop. Yeah, we've got two more seifim to do, and then tomorrow, Bliada, we'll start the actual explanation. We said, what about bricks? Les lombo. Shalos Teshuvas Chaya Yaakov, I don't know who that is. Shalos Teshuvas Chesed Yehoshua seem to make a difference between a building built out of stone and a building built out of bricks. What is the difference between them? Lagaba, our Inyan, I don't know. That's something that we need to explain. And then finally, he says, V'cholak Peder, he dafka b'vay shal hedyot. The whole hakpota, not to build a b'vay shal avonim, is only a private house. A private house that's built for a private person, because again, that's showing his permanence in chutz loretz. And we know that all the botik nesias, he said, avo b'vay sakneses, oi b'vay samedesh les lombo, because there's no permanence there, because the botik nesias and botik midroshos, it could be, maybe he's talking about mud bricks, yeah, and they don't last very long, and therefore they're still temporary. We'll have to see, because our levenim l'choira, the bricks that they make today, are very long lasting. They'll probably last as long as stone. And therefore, that the choyer thing. So that basically concludes the discussion in the top chelik of the text as to what the hakpada of not building a binyan shel avodim, a private binyan shel avodim, and only on a virgin site. Okay, and then we'll be later tomorrow, we'll start looking at the explanations and also to understand why it helps that if you did build a binyan shel avonim, that you put in a chicken and a rooster overnight, shech them in the morning, and you've done your kapara.
Started at Toro in Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Zion Teves, 6th of January, Rabbi Yaakov Kupershlita, topical theme. This week's Torah has been sponsored by family Reuben Weiniger, Yenishmas Sora Bas Noyach Ole Asholem, the outside is Kaf Aleph Teves, and Yenishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov Ben Shimon Kol Tzvi Itzkovitz, and Zichron Nodi Brachot.
If you want to start, I'll get you tomorrow brought this up.
Good morning, everyone. So, I actually spoke here on a tour away over here in London about 16 years ago on Pastor Shemois. And, so I'm hoping you all remember what I said then, so I've heard something new. Good to be back again. We're starting now the Sefer of Shemois, the Sefer of the Golos and the Geula. We learn how Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim and the terrible suffering they went through. Then the retribution and the punishment that the Mitzrayim had, and eventually Hashem took us out and led us towards our Sinai to recover the Torah. So I want to first put down a question to ponder, very thought-provoking question I've had many years, and that is, we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, many years previously, had already foretold the union of Golos Mitzrayim at the Bris Ben Absorim. Avraham Avinu had a vision, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him at length, and he told him that your descendants are going to be Gerim in a land that's not them. They're going to make them work hard, they're going to afflict them, they're going to torture them for 400 years. And then, of course, Rog said eventually they will go out. And we don't see any response. We don't see any response to the Pesukim and Chazal from Avraham Avinu to this terrible prophecy. Now, on the other hand, that's in Parshas Lech Lecha. In Parshas Vayero, you read about, Torah tells us how Kodesh Baruch Hu was about to destroy Sodom for all the terrible things that they were doing, all the terrible actions they were doing, how they were treating people, and they came to the stage that Kodesh Baruch Hu decided they have to be destroyed, not just them, but the whole country, all the cities have to be turned over, terrible, terrible punishment. And what was Avraham's reaction? Well, we'd have thought, if it had been one of us, you know, good serves them right, you know, they deserve it, that's what it should be. Avraham was the person who was espousing chesed and teaching chesed and teaching the world about how Kodesh Baruch Hu is chesed, we have to emulate him. And Sodom were doing complete opposite. They weren't just not doing chesed, they were doing rishus, they were being mean to people, they were torturing people, they were hard to people. So if a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells them, you know, it's time to come, they deserve what they're going to get, we need to get rid of these people, we need to destroy them, Avraham said, well, yes, it's about time. But no, that wasn't Avraham's reaction. Avraham davened, and he davened, and he davened, and he said, do you mind if I daven a bit more, if I ask again and again and again, until he tried all avenues, until Kodesh Baruch said, there's nothing, there's no schos, there's no limit, schos, I'm going to destroy them. So we see Avraham, that was part of maybe his midst of chesed and his rachamim, even those who were the complete antithesis to him,
restore
him.
How did Avraham know that stone was going to be?
The Pasuk actually says, not fair that I will go and destroy Sodom, part of Eretz Yisrael, which I don't tell Avraham, who I promised Avraham the land. It's very clear in the Pesukim. Kodesh Baruch says, I want to tell Avraham before I do it. Sorry? So there Avraham davened, and he davened, and he davened to save Sodom. He didn't manage, but he davened a lot. And here, his own children, his own descendants, his own great-grandchildren, He's told about the terrible suffering they're going to go through.
Nothing.
You know, if one of us would be told about a prophecy about what's going to happen in a few generations' time, what would we do? What would our action be? Please, boys, have rachmanos. Can we maybe take away a bit of the onus? Can we make it a bit lighter? You would try everything to take away and to take away a bit of the suffering from your descendants. And here we see Avraham was quiet. Nothing. He didn't ask for anything. What's the pshat? What's the contrast? There by Sodom, he's davening, and by his own very children, he keeps quiet. And the answer is very profound. The answer is, as we know, the Pasuk says in Sefer Dvorim, that the suffering went through Mitzrayim, the Avodim Ve'inu Oysom, wasn't just a punishment. It wasn't something that, you know, the Moses was trying to punish us. It was, as the Pasuk calls it, the Kor HaBarzel. It was the furnace, the fiery furnace, which was preparing us to become the Am HaNivchor, was preparing us to become the Am HaShem, to mekabel the Torah in Har Sinai. Like a silversmith, he gets a piece of raw silver, and it's got bits in it, sigim, and it's got impurities which need to be burnt out, and the only way to do it is by putting it in the furnace, or someone who's an ironmonger with metals. So he puts it and heats it, and melts it, and that way you're able to remove all the impurities. That brings out the metal, the silver, makes it shine, makes it reach the quality that you want. So too, Klal Yisrael, for whatever reason, got to do with the Kabbalistic reasons of the Tzotzis of Kedusha, Tumah, etc., we needed to go through this process. We needed to break our goofs. We needed to break ourselves to be able to prepare ourselves to become Avdei Hashem, to become a nation who is pure and worthy of becoming the Am HaNivchor, becoming the Am HaShem, of receiving the Torah Tzedekim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Har Sinai. So therefore, of course, it was painful for Avraham to hear about what we were going to go through. But he knew there's an ultimate tachlis over here. He understood that the purpose over here is that we're going to come out better. We're going to come out stronger. We're going to come out the Am HaShem. We're going to become the nation who is mekabel the Torah Har Sinai, who becomes the light to the world. The nation who not just learns Torah, but the Torah becomes us. We're saying, Chelkeinu b'Sor Yosecha, we have the koyach of the Torah even over Shemayim. Avraham said, yes, it's difficult for me to hear about it, but understand that I know that every type of pain, every year of suffering in Mitzrayim is going to ultimately make my children into the great people that Klal Yisrael are. By Sodom, they deserve the punishment. Avraham said, okay, let's have rachmonos, let's see. Ma'arachmova kol ma'isov, he damunt, have rachmonos, so they shouldn't get the punishment for the bad things that they've done. You know, maybe one day they'll do tshuva. Of a Klal Yisrael, it wasn't a punishment per se. It was preparing us. It was the Kor HaBarzel preparing us for Matan Torah. But then the question, there's a new question. We know, it's famous, Rashi brings it later on in the parasha, that although we suffered greatly in Mitzrayim, there was one nation, one tribe who were completely potter, one tribe, Sheva Levi, who didn't work at all in Mitzrayim. Some say Reuven and Shimon, also a bit not, some say Ephraim, but Sheva Levi is most famous that they didn't work in Mitzrayim. The Rambam brings it down. They sat in Goshen and they sat in Lan Torah. And the question is, in light of what we say, that the Golos of Mitzrayim, the Avodah Me'inu Oysa, was the Kor HaBarzel, the purification process of making us ready for Matan Torah. So what's the pshat? Shei Levi didn't go through that suffering. Shei Levi were the Shei of the Torah. Why didn't they need that suffering to be able to prepare themselves for Matan Torah? So there's an interesting Zohar Kodesh on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yimoro eschayem ba'avoyde kosher b'choyim v'veinim chon avoyde she besode. Says the Zohar Kodesh, b'choymer, so the literal translation of b'choymer is mortar, or b'veinim is bricks. They had to work with mortar and bricks and stones and building material. The Zohar tells us, b'choymer, dor kal b'choymer. This refers to a kal b'choymer. Or b'veinim, do libun halacha. It's a lotion of libun halacha, of clarifying the halacha. What does this mean? What's the Zohar trying to tell us? Why is he taking the pasuk out of its regular translation? There is a famous chazal, Ben Yoin refers to it in Shai Truva. On the pasuk we say in Shir Shalyoim, Ashri ha-geva ashet yasrenu ka, o mutarosu salamdenu. Fortunate is the person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him yisurim, from Torah he learns. What does this mean? Says the Chazal, so Yalkut, Ein Adam Ba'olam Belo Yisurim. There's no person in this world, there's no person that goes through Olam Hazeh without Yisurim. Choshes Vishino, in Yochalishan, someone can have toothache, he can't sleep at night. Be'eno, his eyes are hurting him, Ein Yochalishan, he can't sleep. You've got another person, says Chazal, Yoga Batoyo, another person who can't sleep at night. Why not? Because he's busy trying to understand the Rambam. He's busy trying to get the Gemara clear. He hasn't finished his Gemara for the day, his daf for the day, so he stays up a bit longer, even though he's tired. I need to finish the chovos of my learning for today. Yoga Batoyo Ein Yoshan, says the Medrash, Ze'er V'Ze'er. So you've got two neighbors. The two of them are awake, burning the midnight oil. One of them, because he's got a toothache. One of them, because his baby is keeping him awake. And the other one is awake because he's trying to decipher Tosas, to understand Halach and Shulchan Aruch. They're both awake. Zog the Medrash. Ze'er ve'ze'er have oimer asher gevesh teshen ukor. In other words, the Medrash are telling us that everyone has Yisurim. Ein odom ba'olam shebli Yisurim. Everyone has to go through suffering. But you can make the choice. There's two different ways you can carry out those Yisurim. You can have Yisurim, physical Yisurim, Yisurim Olam Hazeh, things of this world, Gashmistik in Yonim, which bother you, which disturb you, which give you pain and suffering. But you can have a person who has his suffering through learning. He's bothered by the Rambam, he's bothered by Pshat Natosis. He gets his Yisurim, he gets his so-called his disturbances from the Limud HaTorah, from mutching himself to learn, from being Omal BaTorah. And a person can make the choice. Ashri Adam, fortunate as the person understands that he can have the Yisurim through Torah. When a person applies himself to Torah, he mutches a Torah, that can pat himself from many other physical Yisurim, which he would have had to have instead. So the Medrash is telling us, we ask, what about Shevet Levi? They didn't go through the suffering. They didn't go through the physical torture of Choma Levenim. Reveals to us the Zohar, because it's a deeper translation, a deeper understanding of the word Choma Levenim. V'choma do'kal v'choma. V'levenim do'libun halacha. Shevet Levi had the wisdom and the perception to understand that we can be mekayim the v'avodum v'inu oisom, the mutzarai, the suffering of Mitzrayim, we can be mekayim through our learning. If we are learning and we apply ourselves, and as the Medrash says, they sat and learned Yoimam V'Lein, the base of Medrash, they didn't leave Eretz Goshen at all. They didn't even have food. There's a Medrash that says, that Paray said, look, all of you are working for me, so to speak. You're all building up my empire. So you get rations. You would give, that's how the Jewish people, that's how the Eden had what to eat. He would give them rations. Shevet Levi. Right, I can't force you to work because, you know, as the Medrash says, the whole trick they did, they didn't come. Right, I can't force you to work, but I'm not giving you food either. I'm not giving you rations. They didn't have what to eat. So the Medrash says how Klal Yisrael took from their own small rations and they gave Shevet Levi a wonderful thing. But upon him, we see that they were learning there with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. They didn't know where the next piece of bread came from, but they understood that that's their purpose, that's their tachlis. They were kind of avodah inu oisam through the learning. As Chazal tell us, we know we don't know how much we gain, how much suffering we can spare ourselves on, we can save ourselves from when we learn. When we learn, when we're committed to our learning, whether it's in coming every day to Shir, or you know, making a whole Seder Yom, I've got to go to the Shir, I can't miss the Shir, or it's doing the Chazor or learning yourself. Everyone has their own learning commitments. The more strength, the more kwech we put into our learning, we should know that besides for the Limud HaTorah itself, Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam, but we don't know how much suffering, how much pain, how much agmas nefesh we are saving because we're using it in our Limud HaTorah. So I'd like to talk about, as I mentioned, a topical theme, something which we learn halachic dika inyan, which there's a remez for in the parasha, and that is inyan of Limud HaTorah, which everyone is chayav to do. Doesn't matter who you are, what other sedorim that you have, and that is the chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum. What's the remez in the parasha? In the beginning of the parasha it says, Ve'elu shmois b'nei Yisroel, haboim mitzrayim, is Yaakov ish of Esav. Says the Balaturim, and it's brought down in other svarim as well, says the Balaturim, Ve'elu shmois b'nei Yisroel, Rosh HaTevis, The Adam asher lo yimed haseder, person who learns the seder, shnayim mikro ve'echot targu, bekoil noim yoshir, he will sing it with a nice coil, with a neimustik a coil, yichye shonim rabois aruchim lo'idam, he will live for many years, many shonim rabois aruchim lo'idam. Again, we see the koyach of Torah to give a person arichas yomim. Chazal put this down on the inyan of shnayim mikro. This is a Gemara in Brochas. Very good. Shmoyis itself. Ve'ela Shmoyis. Yeah, there's another remez. Ve'ela as well. I don't remember.
Chayev Adam
Loima. Sorry? Chayev Adam Loima. Chayev Adam Loima. So this is a Gemara, as we mentioned in Brochus. The bottom of the Chesem Adaluf. Omer Avami lo oyram yashlim adam parshiris mitzivo. Persons we mashlim the parshiris with the tzivo shnei mikro twice sukim beechot targum vafir atris v'divoin. Rashi explains sheim bo targum shekol amashlim parshiris mitzivo marichinoi yomo v'shnoisov. He gets an ariches yomim. There's a battle, they say, I think Shem Chasson Seif and others. Some people say, why haven't you done Shnayim Mikro Echot Targum? Says, I'm too busy, I've got other things to learn, I've got other things to do. I don't have time. So the Chazal, the Gemara says, Marichinu Yomim Shnoisov, don't worry. You're going to get Arichas Yomim, forget. You don't have time, start your Shnayim Mikro Echot Targum. You'll have much more time to do Shnayim Mikro and many other things as well. But this is a Moritikach Tocha Chazal give us that a person who's makbid on this din, he gets an Arichas Yomim, it's a Meridika Skula. The Sefer Chassidim actually brings someone who said, well, I don't need this bracha of Arichas Yomim Vashonim, I'm not dafka looking for it. So I'm not going to do Shnayim Mikra. And the Sefer Chassidim speaks out that this inyan of Marichin or Yomim Vashonisov is for a person who doesn't really appreciate what Torah Mitzvahs is. So we give him encouragement, we tell him, the Chazal Revilas now and again, certain Arichas Yomim. But says the Sefer Chassidim, we know, because the Pasuk tells us that someone does kibud over aim, gets Arichas Yomim. Now what would be if a person say, you know what, I don't need the Arichas Yomim, I'm not going to honor my parents. Obviously that doesn't work. There's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv to honor your parents, whether you want the schar or not. So the schar is something extra the Torah promises us, but there's a chiyuv, that's what a person has to do. It's not the same as chizid, the same as shnayim mikro v'echot targum. It's something that everyone has to do. The Arichas Yomim is a special avtocha which Chazal gave us for this mitzvah. The loss of the Gemara is Lo'inam Yashlim Adam Parshas Matzibu, which could mean that it's a good thing to do, and as the Gemara tells us, the Ska. But the loss of the Rambam is in Hilchas Tvila, also the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Pei Hei, brings down a whole Siman on these Alochas, Kere Gimel, Likrei HaParshas Shnei Mikro Echot Targum. The loss is Chayiv Likris Latzmoy. A person's chayiv, it's a chiyuv to learn kol shavua parashas oisa shavua shnayim mikro v'echot targum afilu atoros v'divoy. Where does this chiyuv come from? What's the source of this chiyuv? What's the reason of this chiyuv? So the Levush says that in order a person should be bochi b'Torah, every person is expected to have a basic understanding in Torah shebichsav, chamisha chumsha Torah which are given at Har Sinai. A person has to have a basic understanding in that. The Chinuch in his Akdoma explains a bit further that we know there's a takona to learn the Torah Betzibu. He says there's two levels of learning. You have a level of learning Betzibu in shul together where you're lishmoya, you hear it from the chazan, from the balkura, and then a person has to go bebeisa, he's yoshev bebeisa, and he learns the parasha again and explains the Chinuch, because sometimes you hear shi, you hear something, but you need to internalize it. You have to learn it and chazer it and think about it again. So the effect that it has on you is much more, is much greater when you learn it yourself. So that's what the Chinuch says. We hear it in shul as a tzibur together, and then we go home, we take the limut home, like the Rav gives a drosh in shul to the tzibur, and then you go home and you turn it over to your family. You share it with your family. That's their connection to Ruchnis, the way they steig, is from the Baal HaBayis. So too, the Shnayim Mikro V'echot Targum explains the Chinuch.
Shnayim Mikro comes first before the Kriya Satori that you're going to hear.
Right, correct.
Instead of finished before the
Kriya Satori. Yeah, we'll speak about that soon.
It's not
Chazor, it's preparation. Right,
yeah.
Very interesting point. According to the Chinuch, it seems.
So
I think it would be more meduk to say it's about maybe first learning yourself, preparing it, so when you come to the shul and you hear the Kriyas Torah, it has a different meaning to you. I once was in a shul in, and Reb David Cohen, Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, was there in the shul, and the balkor was a very nice balkor. You could really hear what was going on in the way he read the parasha. And Reb David Cohen went up to him after davening, and said to him, "He didn't lay in the parasha. He gave a shir on the parasha." That's the idea. Yes. The Chasulchan, however, comes up with an interesting chiddush. So Tulnal Choyas Pashas, it's a din drabonon. Chazal Masak in this union of internalizing and learning the parasha properly. But the Or Chasulchan here in Reish Behe says that actually this takana comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, no less than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. From Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Mavakama was Masakin that we should lay in the parasha of Tzivu, or Ezra took it further, Mondays and Thursdays, but the takana of Kriyas HaTorah comes originally from Moshe Rabbeinu. The same takana was also that we should be koyra ourselves, Shnei Mikra Vechotargum. So this is a takana kaduma. This is something that Moshe Rabbeinu already established, that we should be doing Shnei Mikra Vechotargum. As we said, it's a chiyuv. The Rishonim speak out that even Samlas Torah Menosa, you have a person who will say, well, I'm busy learning Shas, I'm busy learning Yevamos, I'm learning other Masechtas, haven't really got time to learn Shnei Mikra, that's for the poshter people. No, says the Rishonim, Rabbi Yonason, as even if he's learning other things, Al Yifsha, he shouldn't be relaxed from learning Mehashtim Parshas, and no one can pat himself, En Shum Vocha Yocha Lifta Atzmei, from learning the Shnei Mikra Bechatagum. And interesting Loshon, he adds on, it's called maybe Torah Lishma. When you're learning Gemara, when you're enjoying the daf, when you're enjoying the give and take, it's a certain gishmak. Some people find Shnei Mikra a bit tedious, a bit boring, you know, to get through the parasha. So he says that's a bechina of limud lishma, and adarava, that's a greater schar. But that's really what the tachlis is, that it shouldn't become tedious, it shouldn't become difficult. That's the idea of learning Shnei Mikra Vecha Targum, is to be able to understand the psukim and to live the parashas. So that leads us to another shayla which Reti the Shulchan Aruch talks about. The union of Shnei Mikra Vecha Targum, you learn the posuk twice, and Targum, the Chazanish says the idea is, you learn the posuk once, then you have the Targum, and you get an easy understanding of the psukim, and then you learn the posuk with after that. The Meis of the Minig is the Mishnah Berurah brings, the way the Mishnah Berurah puts it down is that you say the psukim twice, and then the Targum. But there's different ways of doing it. But Kaponim, what about the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if you learn Im Lomad HaParash of a Parash Rashi, Choshev Kamoi Targum. It doesn't have to be Dafka with Targum. You could also learn it with Parash Rashi. Because, the Mishnah explains, Rashi explains the Psukim and sometimes even more than the Targum. Says the Mechaber Vayta, V'yeshamayim yikro Targum v'gam Parash Rashi. Yeshamayim should read the Targum and also Parash Rashi. Because, as Mishnah explains, there's different minors to Rashi than to Targum. On one hand, Targum was given already in Sinai. Also, it explains every word. Rashi, on the other hand, is more elaborate, and he brings all the different chazals, much for barichus, but doesn't explain every word. So therefore, a person, if he can, he should do both. He should have Targum, the Ma'ir of Targum, and also do Rashi as well. Now the question is, nowadays, that many of us don't understand really Targum, not rogel in it. Once a person does Shnei Mikra for a few years, he gets more rogel in it, he gets a better understanding and understands the words of Targum, but upon him, many people not really understanding what the Targum is, and Rashi is much more meaningful for them. So how does that work? What should one do if one only has time for Targum or Rashi? So first of all, technically, a person has to know that we have to understand Rashi, as Mishruati mentions, it doesn't translate every word of the Posel. Some psukim even don't have Rashi. So the Mishnah Berurah, oysom psukim sheinem perash Rashi, yikra oysom sholosh pamim. So then you'd have to read the Posel three times. So if a person is going to choose that just do Rashi instead of the Targum, then it's going to be quite complicated, because he's going to have to work out any pasuk which doesn't have a Rashi, so you're going to have to read the pasuk three times instead. Sukkim with Rashi, you don't have to. What about if one pasuk, you've got a pasuk that says 10 words, 15 words, 5 words, and Rashi explains one word. So does that mean now the rest of the pasuk that doesn't have Rashi you have to learn again? L'chayra, the same way as a pasuk without Rashi, meaning to say Rashi felt that it was self-understood, one didn't need an extra explanation, so you'd have to read the pasuk three times. L'chayra hu'adin, if you have a pasuk which only Rashi explains one word of it, you'd have to read the rest of the pasuk, so it'd be quite complicated to work out how a person will do that. Someone asked me once, interesting shayla, he says, what about V'yakel Pekudei? Rashi says, the beginning of V'yakel Pekudei, I've already explained to you in Truma all the way how the Mishnah was built. So can you rely on that and say, well, I've learned in Parshas Truma, so now I've got automatic translation of Rashi through V'yakel Pekudei? Or no, you'll have to do the V'yakel Pekudei again. That's interesting shayla. So the Maisa, there is machlokes among the poskim, what should one do when one has only a chance to do Targum or Rashi. There's a letter printed from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim takes into consideration that nowadays people have a difficulty in learning Targum, that one maybe could learn Rashi instead of the Targum. But as we said, it's not so easy to mekayim that. So ideally, one should try and make the time. One should definitely make it an effort to be able to do the Shnei Mikra Targum and also Perush Rashi. I just want to end off with one other interesting point. As Rav Yanki mentioned before, when does a person do Shnei Mikra? So it begins at the beginning of the week, Imat Siva, once some say from Reti Mincha Shabbos afternoon, that's Reti called Bekoira Parsha Matzibo, until the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Darud, Mitzvah Namuchish, Yasin Moshe Koidim Shiyoichel B'Shabbos, before you eat on Shabbos, Vimloi Hishlim Koidim Achila, if you didn't manage to eat, finish it before you ate, Yashim Ach Achila, you can finish it afterwards, Adam Mincha. So the Din L'Kechila is not till Achila, till the Shabbos day Shudrish Mavua. Interesting, why should that be? What's the Indian of the Shudrish Yoyim? The Mishra brings a medrash. The Sibu Rebbe is born of Al Toichu Lechem B'Shabbos at Shetigmas Kol HaParsha. Don't eat your bread on Shabbos until you learn the Parsha. So, very commonly, many shuls have a Kiddush after davening. Is there a problem to have your Kiddush, to sit down to the Kiddush if you haven't finished? It's very convenient for many people, especially when they daven earlier. So, we'll have davening, we'll go to the Kiddush, and then we'll sit in Anfar for now, we'll do the Shnei Mikra, and we'll go home and have a Suda. The lashon of the Medrash is, of the Chazal is, Atoichel Lechem B'Shabbos, Ashtingu Kol HaParsha. So, the Bialoch actually brings, what's the Pshat until the Suda? Why is that a cut-off point? So, says the Mishavuro, Masha Sibir Rebbe Shigma, Pasha Koyna Suda, Hurak Mishrum, the Chayas Dilma Agav Roiv Suda Shabbos Mishnamat Vole Yigma. Because of getting carried away with the Suda Shabbos, he'll end up, and he won't end up finishing the Pasha. So it seems from here, his Lashon is Roiv Suda Shabbos, because of the Suda, and a person has a big Suda on Shabbos, so then he can end up not finishing off the Pasha. But it would seem from there, that if a person just has a kiddush, has a mezonos, he has something small to eat, a te'ima, what's called in Chazal a te'ima, eating less than the kibetzah of mezonos or bread, that wouldn't have this chashash of roiv sudas, and then the choyah would be, it's like a chilah to be able to have your kiddush and then do Shnei Mikra Vechatagum after that.